Hello, I'm John Ellis, and welcome to episode 94 of Pittodrie PS, the predominantly Dons-based podcast featuring not just the Dons first team, but a look across the age groups and genders at the club. And we focus on the respective progress of Cove and Peterhead too, as well as the North East local representatives in the Highland League and juniors, and not just football, but any sport making headlines in the North East of Scotland, featuring someone from the North East of Scotland. Joining me for this journey, as always, Andrew Shiney and Dave McDermott. So here we are recording this episode on the morning of Tuesday, October 3rd, 2023. Later, we'll look forward to the Dons' second UEFA Conference League match against HJK Helsinki at Pittodrie on Thursday, as well as the Scottish Premiership fixture versus St Johnson on Sunday coming. But first, we have to look back over a week where we had a second meeting with Ross County in 4 days, this time in the Viaplay Cup, for a return to Hampden for a semi-final, followed by a league fixture with Rangers at Ibrox. Let's do it in chronological order. And first, to that Viaplay Cup game in Dingwall. It finished 2-1 for the Dons. Take us through it, Andrew.
Well, it was a very professional performance from Aberdeen up until the last 15 minutes of the game. They scored a fantastic first goal through Graham Shinney. I doubt if he'll hit a better left foot volley than that one that he scored with. Then Jack Baldwin gets himself sent off, caught out in a foot race with Duke, just not quick enough to stay with the striker. I don't think there was any complaints at all about the red card. The only complaint Baldwin has was that Ross Laidlaw wasn't quickly enough off his line. But thereafter, Aberdeen kind of huffed and puffed a wee bit, had total control of the game, but I thought didn't play it at a tempo that was required to kill the game off. I know speaking to Barry Robson after the game, he said, we spoke to them at halftime and said, look, we don't have to rush out and score heaps of goals. I think Barry felt, you know, we're in the lead, just look after that. All you have to do in a cup tie is be one goal better than the opposition team and you win it. The longer it went, you started to get just a little bit nervous. Then another breakaway goal, this time scored by Esther Sockler. A great moment for him to score his first goal for Aberdeen. And you thought, that's it, done and dusted. And then the penalties given against Slobodan Rubicic, who, it has to be said, looked a bit slow with Josh Shims running past. Or no, it was Alex Samuel, sorry, who ran past him into the box, into an area which was causing no danger whatsoever to Aberdeen. And Barry's take on it since having seen the footage is that it's never a penalty. I must admit, at the time, I thought it was a penalty. So did John Beaton. And it was expertly put away by young Kyle Turner. And all of a sudden, from being comfortable, you're on the end of the Alamo. You know, County laid siege to the Aberdeen goal. But the Dons showed decent character, got themselves through. And that's all that counts in a cup semi-final at the end of the day, is that you get through. So it was mission accomplished, but it was perhaps slightly more difficult than it should have been.
As Andrew said, Dave, I doubt Graham Shinney will ever strike a better volley. And he's come on to, just in recent weeks, recent games, he's come on to some fantastic form, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's back to the form that he was in at the peak of his first spell at Pittodrie. And the volley, as you say, was just out of this world and gave us such a lift and great start in that game. But no, you know, we'll come on to speak about Saturday as well, where again, I think our captain was head and shoulders the man of the match. But he's brilliant just now, and such an inspiration to have, you know, or for the rest, because he does, his attitude really does permeate through the side, and we saw that over the last few games.
Don't mention head and shoulders alongside Graham Shinney. He's very proud of that Barnet. And if anybody says, you don't wear head and shoulders, do you? He'll go, I don't. Sorry.
You've been speaking to David Bowman getting lessons in telling jokes.
Well, I was about to say, you know, I tried to get away without editing this podcast at all, and I think maybe I've just got a dip for it. A goal for Esther Sockler, Andrew, which won't do his confidence any harm at all, will it? I mean, he's been in fits and bursts, he's been appearing, but that is probably what he needs to really kick on now.
Absolutely. I mean, I've seen, you know, I saw his debut out at Turriff, the pre-season friendly, when he came on at halftime and scored 4 goals in virtually no time flat. And you just thought, yeah, there's a striker you can trust when a chance comes his way. Unfortunately, out in Frankfurt, if you remember, there was a sort of three-quarter chance fell his way, and he actually caught it too well. If he'd mishit that volley with his right foot out there, who knows where it might have ended up. But no, it was a very good goal for Sokler. And it's good to see that you've got somebody on the bench who can come on and produce a moment like that. And we don't have to rely solely on Bojan to score goals. And that has been a feature over the last two, three games. We've seen a number of players scoring goals, and that's very important for the team going forward.
Yeah, so a semi-final pairing against Hibs at Hampden. We'll quickly forget that the fact that our goal was laid siege to and just focus on to the semi-final. Are you happy enough with that draw, Dave?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you know, you obviously are looking to avoid Rangers, although after Saturday, maybe not. But I think Hibs, we're due one for that that semi-final defeat way back in, was it 2014? When Craig Brown always used to go back to that about the referee's poor decision that cost us the game. I'm looking forward to that semi-final already, and we've got a great chance. And we've got, let's face it, if we keep going the way we're going, we've got a great chance of lifting the trophy, which would be absolutely fantastic.
Was that the one with the Fallon goal, by the way?
Yeah, Rory Fallon goal.
Yeah, that's probably the best live goal I've ever seen scored at Hampden by an Aberdeen player. But, you know, anything to add to that, Andrew?
I would agree with Dave. I mean, of the other three semi-finalists in the hat, Hibs would have been the one you wanted to pull out, albeit Hibs will probably think, oh, we beat Aberdeen last time we played them at Audrey.
We've improved since then. Yeah,
we've improved since then more than Hibs have improved. You saw that on Saturday. Hibs, off the back of a very good quarter-final victory against St Mirren, couldn't score at home to Dundee. Now, all due respect to Tony Docherty's side, but Hibs at home, you would think, is a game where you're certainly expecting to concede a goal. But Hibs blow hot and cold, but I think, as they use Barry's phrase, Aberdeen are motoring now. And I'd agree with Dave. You know, I wouldn't be scared of anybody that's left in the competition now. So let's hope that they can keep that momentum going and keep the form going. And we can look forward, perhaps, to two visits to Hampden before Christmas.
I tell you, what difference a week's make? A week makes
it does. It's incredible.
You're boxing, dancing in the lid now, aren't you?
Well, I mean, it's amazing that had, you know, the Wednesday before the Frankfurt game, if you told us what we know now was going to happen over the next 10 days, you'd have bitten everybody's hand off to get that. But it's happened. So let's build on it.
I don't know if I said this at the time, but I did think that we might get a credible performance in Frankfurt, but I thought, being peak Aberdeen, we'd probably come back then tired and maybe draw or lose to Ross County. But, you know, I'm happy that it's transpired the way it has. Don't get me wrong. Let's move on to Saturday's match against Rangers. Nobody predicted that scoreline amongst us. I think I ventured a 2-0, but that was more being bullish than anything else. Nobody had a 3-1. Take us back through it again, Andrew.
Well, you have to say it was a tactical masterclass from a rookie manager against a guy who thinks he's done it all in the game, who talks a big game, but ended up getting his P45 at the end of it. So, and showed an incredibly arrogant amount of disrespect towards Aberdeen in his post-match comments. I thought Aberdeen were excellent. First half, perhaps, Rangers had more of the play. I think that was part of the grand master plan. Well, let them have possession. Let's see what they do with it. They didn't do a lot, to be perfectly honest. Kelroos had the one save from Dessers, I think. And then we get a corner kick, and they worked the space really well with that corner. Stefan Gartenman, though, was given the freedom of the penalty area by Cifuentes. But a good finish. Then into the second half, Bojan possibly could have done better than hit the post with his header. Then you go 2-0 up after pinball in the box. It was a very fine finish from Jamie McGrath on his birthday. So not only did he get a black eye, but he got a goal to celebrate his birthday. And then when they got a goal back, I did send Dave a message saying, can we fast forward 15 minutes here? Because you always feel when you go down there, you know, with the crowd behind them and usually the refereeing team behind them, and things can happen that shouldn't happen anywhere else. But by that time, I think Ibrox was half empty because there was an awful lot of blue seats were visible after Jamie McGrath scored. But then they get a goal back. But then Dave's message had no sooner come through, or my message had no sooner gone through to Dave than Jack McKenzie's gone up the park and scored. And I get the message back, don't worry, no need for panic. A really good all-round team performance from Aberdeen. We've spoken about Graham Shinney. I thought he was absolutely immense. 12 out of 10 for that performance, particularly in the second half. His energy levels, his commitment, his leadership, all absolutely top drawer. But I've also got to make a big mention for Jack McKenzie. I thought Jack, who has suffered more than most in terms of getting brickbats from fans. I spoke to him after the Frankfurt game, and I said to him, look, well done for showing character, coming back from giving away that penalty. He says, yeah, it's his, but let's just not talk about my positional sense there. He says, I'll learn. And he's a very bright, intelligent boy, as Jack McKenzie. But that performance that he put in at Ibrox was as good as I've seen Jack produce in a red shirt. The only criticism I'd have was, what the hell was that celebration? He's pushing everybody out the road. And you're thinking, Jack's going to do something quite remarkable here. And it was sort of the Neil Cooper celebration from that cup final in 1982, but with nothing like the artistic impression, panache, name it what you like. It was horrendous. But funnily enough, I sent Jack a message and said to him, you know, you've got to work in your celebration, pal. And he said, well, I hit the crossbar on Friday in training in a crossbar challenge. So I thought, yeah, I'll get a wee celebration going for next time I score a goal. Now, bear in mind, it's 48 games since Jack had scored a goal. So he's probably thinking, I've got about 2 years that I can perfect this one. Fantastic goal. And it just finished off a very, very good spell for Aberdeen. The three wins in a row, the good performance in Frankfurt. And I think, more importantly, the vindication of what Barry Robson is trying to do there. I think you could see there was a team that all knew their role and all accepted that their role was the correct one in driving this team forward. All of a sudden, Aberdeen look a force to be reckoned with once again. But we won't get carried away, as Barry said. You know, I think somebody said, oh, that was a famous result, a result for the ages. And Barry goes, it's a famous result. It's just 3 points. You know, he's trying to play everything down. He will have been absolutely thrilled with the way his team performed there. That was excellent. And the first time Aberdeen have scored 3 at Ibrox since September the 13th, 1997, which just happened to be my first live commentary for Northsound. Dave, you were in the studio with Fitzy, and I think Rangers had just gone, I think Rangers had just gone 2-0 up when you crossed over to me at Ibrox. And then Mike Newell, Billy Dodds, and John Ingles, of all people, got the goals. Aberdeen back. Jingles, exactly. No, a really, really good day for everybody involved with it.
So just to rewind there, Andrew, what you're actually saying is, from without that first game, outside of that, we then went on a cursed spell for about 20-odd years, and it coincided with you starting your commentary career at Northsound. So that's what I took from that.
Aye, well, Dave was alongside me on a lot of occasions as well, so we can share that burden. But hey, we were there when we broke the league duck, remember?
Oh, yeah.
And, of course, we were there the last time that we won, when Niall McGinn and Conor McLennan scored the winners and scored the 2 goals in the Scottish Cup replay. So, but, hey, that's all in the past. Let's enjoy what happened. Saturday is now in the past, but the glow that we're all enjoying is still very much there.
Yeah, I mean, I can't remember. Have we ever had a Rangers manager sacked following a result? I don't think we probably
I don't
have.
Think so. I don't no. think so. But no. I think, to be perfectly honest, the writing was in the wall.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
For Michael Beale, it didn't matter who beat them. It was just next defeat and you're out the door, pal.
I always thought it was quite a strange appointment at the time, but, you know, it took them 10 months to figure it out. The one thing I will say is, going down to Ibrox at the weekend, in advance of that, I thought, this is just exactly the sort of game that Ribasich will get sent off. I'm so glad that didn't come to bear. But it took a while to grow into the game, Dave, as Andrew said. Defended well as a unit, though, largely speaking, and took our goals well.
Yeah, I thought And likewise, the opposite was the case for Rangers. Apologies if the dogs, somebody obviously had the temerity to walk up the street outside the window. Anyway, Rangers, I mean, the half chances they got, they didn't take, and their forwards looked powder puff. And defensively, they were there for the taking. And the exact opposite for Aberdeen. Defensively, we were very sound. As you said, first half, Rangers probably more in the game than Aberdeen, but we went in at half time, and you know we'd been messaging each other on the phone. Just go until half time and listen to the boos, and that's exactly, of course, what happened. Mm. And the second half was a masterclass from the boys, and well done to Barry and the coaching staff, and well done to the players for, you know, acting it out the way it was meant to be, and you know. The third goal, I thought we had more shots than that move before Jack got the ball in the net. We had more shots on target than some games of, you know, than over 90 minutes. It was brilliant. It really was. So, yeah. It was a winning style, and the amount of blue seats that were visible, you know, not even that close to the end, was amazing. And the, you know, the Aberdeen fans were brilliant down there, and they had the time of their life on Saturday afternoon, which is brilliant to see.
Even though a couple of those blue seats probably landed where they were standing, I wouldn't have thought.
Probably.
The Scott Wright sending off, it didn't even really influence the outcome, did it, Andrew?
It didn't, no, because I think Aberdeen were bossing the game before Scott was sent off. It was two rash challenges. The first one in particular, I know he said he got a touch in the ball, but he went straight through Jack McKenzie to get there. And that's a yellow card. I have to give credit to Stephen McLean. I thought he refereed the game very fairly and got all his decisions spot on. That was a nice change.
That was another message I sent to Andrew, which is probably the first time in my life I've messaged Andrew saying the referee's having a good game.
Stephen McLean's doing well, yeah.
But no, the red card didn't. But kind of feel a little bit sorry for Scott Wright. He knows that he's not wanted there. They're desperate to get him off the books, but because they've got so many injuries.
I think Andrew also felt he'd a point against his old club.
Yeah, yeah.
But hopefully for Scott, whoever comes in might see him as a player at Ibrox.
Well, there's a skillful player there, there's no question. But really, Rangers were very, very poor as a team, whereas Aberdeen were outstanding.
Yeah, I mean, when we're talking masterstrokes, I thought really it was a masterstroke that Dave Cormack kept Scott Wright in the payroll all this time. And even if it was handed to him in, you know, a poly bag in the car park after the match by someone who can't be traced back to Pittodrie. I think the media interviewing Barry after the game were hoping for a bigger reaction, probably along the lines of, you know, a Derek McInnes saying, how good were my team today? But they've learned nothing by now, if that's what they thought was coming. Barry very level-headed. In fact, one interview, I don't know if you saw this. I don't know if it was our interview or was it another media interview, but he said he was still growing about the fact the players hadn't had enough time together or on the training ground, but these results, they have to bode well going into this week, Dave, in a second Europa Conference League match, this time at home to HJK Helsinki. This is where I think we've probably identified we've got our biggest chance of securing some points. So really, it's vital we do that, isn't it?
It is, although you know, it's not an easy game. They're on the verge of clinching the Finnish title. They only need a point from their game at the weekend. But on out of all the games, this is the one, and the this game and the next one against PAOK are the ones that you're looking to take 6 points from. And you know, the crowd have got such a huge part to play on Thursday night, but there's no doubt we will get into that one full of confidence. It'll be a real proper European night at Pittodrie. The crowd will be there in huge numbers, and I'm sure that'll help. And I think we'll go into that one now with confidence that we can take the points and very much keep our chances of progressing from the group very much alive.
I did a tiny little bit of research on this one, Andrew. I'm sure you've done more exhaustive and extensive research than I have. HJK Helsinki on their club badge have 5 gold stars, which is unusual to see. Is that for their 5 league wins over the period?
Five championships, yes.
Yeah, I see.
So our 2, which are European trophies, count just a little bit more than 5 finished titles. But you can't take it away from them. They are very close to maybe getting a sixth star in that badge. But I did have a quick look at the YouTube highlights of their last game, which was a 3-0 victory against Honka. Not Tonka as in the toys, but Honka, which is maybe a description rather than a name for a Finnish team. One thing that I did notice, they're not very clever at defending set pieces. Their keeper made three or four very good saves when the score was 0-0. So that's something that I'm quite sure Aberdeen will have looked at. I mean, Jordi Ram and Marta will have done a huge amount of analysis on them. And Barry will know everything there is to know about HJK. But just looking at them in that game, I didn't see anything that really scared me. As I say, the keeper, Jesse Ost, looked quite decent, but I see he's 32 years old, so he's not the youngest. But then again, 32 is not old for a goalkeeper, because I think Kelly's round about that age. Then you're going through their side. They've got a guy, Juna Toivio, who scored an excellent free kick, who looked very good. Nico Hamalainen, you may remember, played in Scottish football for Kilmarnock for a short period of time without really setting the heather on fire. He's a regular in their back division. They're mostly Finns. There's not very many foreigners in their side. Their second goal in that game against Honka was scored by a guy, Topi Keskinen. He picked up a corner. Honka were attacking, took a corner, cleared out to the edge of the box. Keskinen gets the ball, bombs down the left-hand side. Not as quickly as Johnny Hayes would do, I may add, and the defenders were pretty slow trying to get to him, and then the last man just dives in and gets nowhere near the ball, and he runs virtually 100 yards and sticks the ball in the back of the net. So he's one that you'd probably be keeping an eye on. And then up front, they've got a Bojan, same as we have. This one is Radulovic, who I see is Spanish nationality. He's their main striker, big guy. But I had looked at Häcken's previous games and I thought, they've got real pace in their side. I didn't see that in HJK, either going forward or defending. And that's one thing that you do notice about Aberdeen, you know, the transitions and the breakaways that we've scored a couple of really good goals with recently. It's being done at lightning pace.
Yeah,
and that could be something that will give Aberdeen just a little bit of an edge in this game. But there will be no complacency. It won't be a case of, beat Rangers last time. All we've got to do is turn up and we're going to win this game. It will be difficult. They will be technical. They've got more European experience, more nous probably at this level than Aberdeen have got. It's not a game to be feared. It's a game to be really relished. And as Dave said, full house under the lights at Pittodrie, back in group stage football, where better do the players want to be?
Exactly. And our Bojan's better than their Bojan.
Absolutely.
let's do a score prediction then for Aberdeen versus HJK Helsinki in UEFA Conference League. Dave?
2-0 Aberdeen.
Andrew?
I'll go
care
one.
To venture, care to, I was going to say, care to venture three?
I'll go three. Seeing as Dave's managed to get in with a two, I'll go for three.
I'm not daring go for four. And of course, we follow that up with a match on Sunday versus St. Johnstone. Now, had this been a couple of weeks ago before Frankfurt, we'd been looking at this thinking, oh, St. Johnstone haven't been going well. They're coming to us. We know what happens when teams are in a bad run and they play us. Inevitably, their run of poor results comes to an end and we kickstart their form. Do you see that happening this time, Dave?
I sincerely hope not. St. Johnstone's still looking for their first win in the league this season, so confidence is not an all-time high, shall we say. So, no, I don't think so. A lot will depend on how the game goes on Thursday night in terms of keep the confident mood going, which I'm hopeful and pretty sure that they will. So, I think I don't see us doing our normal slip-up against a side that is looking for a result to end a bad run.
Apparently they didn't play too badly last fixture that they had, Andrew. And, I mean, we've seen ourselves how quickly things can change. We're currently in seventh spot, having been just above St. Johnstone a couple of weeks, about a week ago, in fact. So, I mean, there's every chance that it could come and cause a few problems. They're always stuffy. Do you see them actually managing to walk away from Pittodrie with a win?
I struggle to see that. I think Aberdeen have just got too much firepower for St. Johnstone. They'll be missing Liam Gordon, their skipper, who was red carded at the weekend, unless that is overturned. I believe it's gone to appeal, but I don't think they'll get away with that one. And I was speaking to Doug Considine, Andy's dad, at a former player's golf outing on Friday, and I said, you know, how are things going down there? Because he obviously goes down and watches St John's and sees his son playing. And he says, they just can't score goals. He says, they've got no strikers. Nobody can score a goal. And that is their biggest problem. They don't get battered, but they're a bit like Peter Hedware last season. Remember, we used to say, you know, they played really well and then they conceded and then it was just, oh, well, that's it. We can't score a goal.
Because we can't score, so yeah.
Exactly. I don't think they're quite as bad as that. And because we saw so many times Peterhead did collapse, but St Johnstone have got a bit more steel about them. But I just think Aberdeen are due them one, and Sunday could be the day. I would be looking forward to the game much more if it was Barry Robson than if it was Stephen McLean, put it that way.
Okay, well, let's do a score predictor then for Aberdeen versus St Johnstone. Dave?
3-0.
Andrew?
I'll go 2-0.
I think it'll be a lot stickier. I think it'll be 2-1. I think we'll win, but I think it'll be stickier because they're always close, these games, aren't they? Now, no doubt you'll have spotted the sad news about the passing of former Don Frank McDougall. He'd been living with cancer recently, was unable to attend the dinner event for his induction to the Don's Hall of Fame because of illness, before returning to Pittodrie at halftime in a match last season to be introduced to the fans for an ovation. And he went off around the pitch to enjoy it. I think... maybe now, Andrew, we know why. A few words on Frank McDougall.
A fantastic striker, will always be a hero in the eyes of the Red Army. If you score a hat-trick against Rangers in a 5-1 win, you score all four goals against Celtic in a game that sadly wasn't televised, and then you score an outstanding hat-trick like you did down at Hearts at Tynecastle. Only thing that was missing from his Aberdeen resume was he never managed to score in a cup final, but he won the complete set of domestic medals. Probably the best striker we've had since Joe Harper. Not the fastest thing on two legs, but absolutely clinical in the box. And had injury not cut short his career, I think, you know, if we'd had six seasons out of Frank McDougall, he'd have been getting very close to Joe Harper's goal-scoring record. But sadly, a back injury deprived us of knowing whether that was going to come to pass. But his goal-scoring record, 44 goals in something like 69 games, that tells its own story. A really good striker and will be sadly missed.
Dave?
Yeah, when he was staying in Brazil, he used to message me on Facebook to recommend players, which I would take to Stephen Gunn, and there my interest ended. But I don't remember any of the players ever signing for Aberdeen. But as Andrew said, fantastic striker. That day when he scored the four against Celtic, I was actually working for Aberdeen Cable. And of course, the studios were in King Street. So after the game, I had to run up. And it was one that, you know, occasionally you knew a game was won and you kind of went away right at the full-time whistle. I remember that particular, because we went on air at 5 o'clock, and you know, these days you can never go on air at 5 o'clock because half the games are never finished by then. But I remember racing up King Street, been absolutely knackered by the time, could hardly speak when I was doing a report because, and of course, I was well aware that because of the strike, there was no television pictures, so it was all kind of fresh, but that game, it was just immense, and he was a fantastic striker. And as Andrew said, you know, one of the best to play in the Red Army, and injury, so sad that it was cut short, but very, very sad news of Frank's passing.
And doubtless that will be observed in some fashion, I would imagine, probably at the game on Thursday night, and maybe even again on Sunday, who knows. To the Dons under-18s, who started pretty well and top of the league, I think, last time we checked. Andrew, what's happened this week?
Yeah, still top of the league. They did miss out the previous week because their game wasn't on, and I think it was Hibs went top. Hibs were the next visitors to Cormac Park and sent back down the road with a 3-1 defeat in their pockets. Fraser Mackey, Brendan Hamilton and Finlay Marshall getting the goals. So it's been a really good start to the season from this young Aberdeen side. And their next assignment, tough one, away to Kilmarnock at Rugby Park. Kilmarnock going quite well, but the boys have got the wind in their sails and we fancy their chances to get a victory there.
to the Dons women now, who have been mixed in the results so far this season, which means a general upward trend overall without being too demeaning to last season's performances. They started the campaign better. On Sunday, it was a trip to Meadowbank in the Sky Sports Cup, which didn't go so well. The Dons going down 6-2, one of their bigger thumpings this season. The thing is, Dave, it started really well. We scored the first two goals, didn't we?
First half did really well. Young Miller scoring both goals for the Dons, but second half drop off obviously, and ended up a bit of a runaway victory for Hibs. But and that's something I'm sure that Clint Lancaster will be working on. But it was always going to be a hard one, especially after the thumping not that long ago from the same opponents, albeit we were playing with 10 men for much of that game. But I still think there's a marked improvement from last season, which is what we want, and hopefully that will continue.
On to Cove Rangers, who've made the 2-2 draw their own in the last couple of weeks against Kelty Hearts in Edinburgh City. On Saturday, they travelled to meet Stirling Albion, and it ended somewhat unbelievably 2-2. Mitch Meginson both scoring and being red carded. That draw secured in the 92nd minute, left it late like they did last Saturday into injury time at the death again, but it's got to go down as a 0.1, doesn't it, Dave?
Yeah, it does. Unfortunately, though, it's we're just not picking up victories. I only watched the first half because Saturday was my wedding anniversary and we'd booked a table, and I managed to time it so I knew I would see the first half right through to half time. But
how are you still married?
Who knows? But didn't manage to see the same. But again, it's I thought. The first half, Darren Young's side played really well and got the goal. And, when I saw that Cove had got it back to draw, I thought, well, given the way the first half had gone, that's not the worst result. But Cove still have to start picking up victories because it's just too many draws and, relying on stoppage time goals to get those draws, which can't be great for the old ticker.
Next week, Cove back at home to welcome Annan Athletic, who are only 1 point above them in eighth, and they'll leapfrog them with a win. Can they do that, Dave, do you think?
Yes, they can. They've got a decent squad, Cove. Defensive error seems to be the cut these out and Cove will go on. They need to go on a run. That's basically what Paul Hartley obviously wants. They were missing Mark Reynolds through illness at the weekend. And Mark's still very much got a role to play in that Cove side. So the at home they can win. Dons aren't playing till Sunday, so they hopefully get a decent crowd up at Balmoral as well for that one.
Peter Head have really taken off in League Two, notching a number of wins in a row now. Saturday's fixture brought the return of the North East Derby between Peter Head and Elgin, which finished 6-0 for the Blue Two. Now, Andrew, that seems like a click, doesn't it? Taking them top of the league in the process on 16 points.
A great result for them, and with the looks of things, an excellent performance. Got off the flyer, Scott Ross and Rory McAllister having them 2-0 up within the first 4 minutes of that game. And then another goal from Scott Ross, two from Kieran Shanks. And as usual, Hamish Ritchie comes off the bench, scores. I think that's the third week in the trot that he's done that. 6-0, a real battering of Elgin City. So there'll be all happy, smiling faces up in the Blue Toon at the moment. And the bonus was that it moved them to the top of the table. They've got real momentum behind them now, so long may that continue. And, it's good to see that Kieran Shanks, ex-Aberdeen youth player, and Rory McAllister are combining really well. In fact, Dave sent me a text on Saturday and said that the ex-Pittodrie guys all doing really well up there at Pittodrie, because five of the six goals came from ex-Aberdeen players. So that's just what they're looking for. Not, yes, win games, but to win them as convincingly as that, that's a real platform to build on, something that they never had last season.
I'm just wondering if last season they scored six goals by the turn of the year, never mind in one game, but
Probably not.
Next weekend, Peterhead away to Forfar Athletic for the Highland League, a mix of competitions at the weekend. One result in the Highland League Cup semi-final, where Fraserburgh recorded a 2-1 away victory against Brechin City in the league. Of the games which went ahead, the results like this: Bucky Thistle 6, Nairn County 0. Fermanagh United 2, Tunniff United 4. Huntly 8, Clackenagh-Haddon 0, and Inverurie Locos 0, Rothes 1. That means the league table looks like this. Huntly are top, but one of four teams on 19 points. Buckey, Formartin and Brechin just behind. In the juniors, Dave?
Well, the main focus at the weekend was the Grill League Cup final, which took place on Sunday afternoon at Newmakers Charlie Gordon Park, where I put on my parka, as is normal in Aberdeen in October, and ended up having to ditch it because it was so warm for a very unseasonally good weather. And it was a good crowd there as well. It was very much a game of two halves. It finished Cooter 2, Bridgeton Thistle 2. Cooter were 2 up at half-time and coasting. Bridgeton Thistle had the best of the second half, went to penalties, and it was 5-3 that Cooter came through on penalties. And afterwards, I spoke to Craig Stevenson, the Cooter assistant manager, who totally agreed that at half-time the game was in the bag, but it was very important that they kept going in the second half.
At half-time, he said to the lads, the next goal was important. If Bridgeton were going to score it, you know yourself, the momentum changes in the game. And to be honest with you, we never dealt with that momentum change. We struggled to get a grip of the ball. Ryan Smart coming off was a problem for us because we lost our physical edge up there, which I thought we'd done really well in the first half. But yeah, Bridgeton, credit to them. You know what I mean? They came out second half. A lot of teams, you know, buckle to that. But, you know, they came out, made it a game. And yeah, it was tough. But at the end of the day, this team, and I've said it last year as well, every single time we go behind, we always find a way. They've got character and they know how to win games. It just shows the mentality they're winning it. So.
And that's the first leg of what you did last season. And it's something you will obviously want to repeat.
For sure, like you said, in pre-season we said to the lads, if she's going to come back, he's make sure you come back with the same appetite as last year, but you've got to be hungrier. They've done that so far this season. You know, it was a disappointing result last week in the Scottish Cup. You know, it was good to get back today. It was a great way to get over that by winning the Grill Cup again and keeping it at Pier Cooter.
The league action started on Friday night with Dice defeating Newmarket United 2-0. And in the games on Saturday, Buckinghaven Hearts 1, Stonehaven 1, East End 1, Rothie Rovers 2, Mod 3, Ellen 2, Nairn St Ninian 3, Fraserby United 3, Stonywood Parkvale 1, Colony Park 3, Sunnybank 2, league leaders Hermes 2. And in the championship, Banksidee maintained their 100% record with a 2-0 victory at Spain Park against Burghead Thistle. This weekend, it's the Scottish Junior Cup's second round. It begins on Friday night at Spain Park with Banksidee against Montrose Rose Lee. The ties on Saturday involving local sides, East End at home to East Kilbride Thistle, Bridgeton Thistle at home to Irvine Victoria, Colony Park versus Rothie Rovers, so one local team will be through to the third round, Cooter at home to Craigmark Burtonians, Dundee Violet against Devonside, Finnert versus Dice, Horace United against Les Mahago, Hermes at home to Beath, and that'll be a tough one. Beath knocked them out 2-0 down at Beath in Ayrshire last season. St Anthony's against Stonywood Parkvale. In addition to that, there's ties in the Quest Engineering Cup as well as league action. Lots of different kickoff times. The league kickoff times are 1:30. The Scottish Junior Cup games start at 2:30. And the Quest Engineering games, there's two of them, Isleville against Longside, Maud versus Cruden Bay, they start at 2 o'clock.
And that is pretty much it for episode 94 of Pittodrie PS for this week. Remember, we publish every Tuesday if we can, always looking back to the Don's previous fixtures and ahead to the next. Please remember to follow us on Apple or wherever you get your podcasts. And if you could rate and review us, tell us what you think of the show as well. We'd be very grateful. Thanks for checking out Pittodrie PS. We'll see you next time.